Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Wilmington, North Carolina, it's time for Wilmington Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello, welcome back to the Wilmington Business Radio Show. I'm Ann Revelle-Petcher, your host, and I'm here with our producer, Kirsten Kalski. Hello, Kirsten. We have a really fun show today. We have a show that is comprised of two men who are really leading a lot of different things that are going on in this town. The first is Matt Hamm, who is with North Carolina Farm Bureau Insurance and also of MattHamm.com. Welcome to the studio, Matt.
Absolutely. I'm glad to be here.
I'm so glad to have you here. And we also have Steve Bond, my upstairs neighbor at Bonsai Marketing. Welcome, Steve.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
I'm so glad that you're here. Finally. It takes forever to walk down those stairs, I think.
I got lost on the way over. Yeah.
So, Steve, let's start talking for a minute about Bonsai Marketing.
Sure.
Tell us about the company, what it is, what you do.
Okay, sure. We are a full-service marketing firm, and we really have a concentration on brand and message development. Within that realm, we do quite a few things from logo development, website development, media relations, PR, and just pretty much runs the gamut on getting brands and concepts out there in front of the community at large.
A traditional full-service advertising, marketing, public relations firm.
Yeah, the idea for Bonsai Marketing, at least, was to have businesses be able to outsource their entire marketing department.
Exactly. Great. So you're like their marketing department down the hall.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of thing, right? Yes, exactly. We kind of pride ourselves on the size of our staff and the capabilities. One of the things we like to do is hire experts within a certain part of marketing, mm-hmm. as opposed to kind of a jack of all trades.
Gotcha.
So, for instance, if you came to us and said, well, you know, we really want to expand our digital outreach, we'd put you along with some of our programmers, our designers, and probably some senior strategists to say, okay, well, if you're looking for the online component, let's kind of map this out together, as opposed to putting you in front of a writer off
right.
the bat.
So. Sure.
So it works well for us and our clients.
So a client can come to you and they can be sure of what they want in terms of output, but they also can come to you probably and say, look, we just need to increase sales.
Absolutely. A lot of what we do in the beginning is research. You know, I come from a media background, and we have a few folks on our team that worked in journalism. And I got to meet a lot of people when I was doing that, and it was a great experience. When I'd worked with businesses as a media reporter, an editor, and a business editor, I found a lot of businesses that would come to me and say, you know, I've done the marketing thing.
Right.
Doesn't really work for me, which I thought was like saying I've tried food and I don't like it.
Yeah, right.
So what I found they were saying is they ran a few ads here. They had a website developed possibly, but they did one or two things, put their eggs in that basket, and when it didn't produce results, they felt that they had given it a go and it was a done day. Where we really come in, I feel, that really differentiate ourselves is we put a lot of upfront research before we ever implement. It's that extra research that leads us to better return on investment for our clients and better results overall. Everything we do, we try to make it purpose-driven.
That's great, because yeah. I think that we hear a lot that people, they're like, well, we just need a social media campaign. And we always say, you have to start with us understanding your business, because we can't
Absolutely.
Do a social media campaign.
Absolutely. The audience. And you see this a lot. You see a lot of business owners start to confuse their wants, needs, and likes with their audience's
yeah.
wants, needs. So they do what they think they would want.
Right.
But they haven't done a lot of research on their target demographic. And a lot of times, it's not the same
yeah.
as what you would like it to be or what you think it is. So we really start digging first with who we're trying to reach, what's going to resonate with them, where they're receiving their information.
Yeah.
And from there, then we start to get kind of creative and have some fun with different strategies and test and measure.
So you never actually offer the same thing twice exactly the same way. Is that right?
No. I mean, there's a definite disadvantage if we're going to go out and say, well, this worked for Joe next door, so therefore we should apply to your business.
Right.
It's not, at one point, it might have been that way decades ago, but there are just too many marketing channels now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about location. It's about the service or product that you sell.
Yeah.
And you really need to kind of fine-tune what it is to do to promote that. So
yeah.
Yes, in some cases you can say, well, they have a website, therefore we need a website. And that's absolutely true. Yep. But what is that website going to entail, and what's it going to offer in terms of look and functionality?
Yeah.
That's where the creative really gets fun.
So, for those people who are listening, who are thinking about their marketing strategies right now and wondering what they should be thinking about that they're not thinking about, what kinds of places do you recommend people, where would they start? What's a good starting point, or what are you seeing that's working well these days?
That's a great question. There's quite a bit. It can be an overwhelming task to try to figure out what marketing tool or service or approach is going to work. This day and age, and we've been doing this for some time, but it's just there's so many new things that are always being created.
Right.
And that's where it gets a little discouraging, because you're inundated with these, I hate to say it, but you do have salespeople saying, let's try this, let's do that.
And that's their job.
Before you know it, there's something else to take its place. And there's not much of a shelf life with some of these things. They kind of come and go. Some of the standard staples, are, to me, I still am a true believer in. So if you said to me, okay, well, what can I do tomorrow? First thing I would do is I'd do a kind of a background check. Personally, you can do this yourself on your business. Where are we today versus where we were a year ago,
right,
6 months ago, 12 months ago? The dynamic is so fluid in business anymore. Your audience today has different needs than they had a year ago.
Yeah.
They have different messaging that resonates with them than it did a year ago. So first step is to kind of revisit your audience. Who are they now? They've changed with us.
Yeah, you know, that's such an important thing. I mean, that's always what we were taught in school, right? The very first thing you have to do is look at your audience. And this is something that people need to come back to all the time, is revisiting their audience and
absolutely,
what their needs are and how that's changing. And it was funny, I was reading this week in Harvard Business Review a piece on taking a personal quarterly offsite. And I think business owners specifically, small business owners, need to do this. And you get out of the office and say, okay, for the next 3 months, what are the three things I'm going to accomplish? And if you are always include part of your audience analysis in that, I think that can really help you. So it's cool to know that that's where you guys start.
Well, you've got to start somewhere. And I think the best place is to first, again, reunite yourself with your audience.
Yeah.
Listen to them. Let them tell you what they want to hear, what they want to see. And then from that, create.
Yeah.
I wish I had the silver bullet solution to say, you need to be doing this tomorrow and your sales will increase 50%.
Well, it's never the same for two companies.
I'd be in a different situation if I could do that.
Yeah, right.
We all would be. But it never is the same. There's quite a bit of strategy and testing and measuring that comes into play, but you definitely will increase your odds of having success if you do a little bit of the homework up front. That would be the first step.
Yeah. So give us some ideas of campaigns you've done.
We've done quite a bit, and whenever I'm asked this question, this overwhelms me, because, again, you know, we've been doing this for about 7 years to some capacity, and in the beginning I was a consultant on my own, and now we're a full team. However, we've done everything from landing national media for businesses at the local level, state level, and national level, to developing some award-winning collateral materials that, at the end of the day, I'm very proud of, got to be featured in some large exhibits and so forth.
Wow, cool.
To coming up with some new product launches for clients that they knew they were entrepreneurs, they knew they had an idea, but they didn't know how to get it from paper to fruition.
Right.
So we got to come in and really get involved with what this thing looked like, with the logo, the brand, what was the messaging, what was the audience even going to be.
Yeah, yeah.
And how are we going to bring it to them and make it unique enough that it kind of stood out? Because that's the other challenge we have as businesses this day and age. The consumer, whether it be business to business, business to consumer, they're saturated with services and product.
And messages.
I think there's a statistic where the average person hears upwards of 10,000 messages per week or ads or something
that
if you count T-shirts that you pass on the street,
well,
billboards.
More than those in tweets in a day.
Exactly,
right?
it's mind blowing. And what's even more mind blowing is that it's happening and we don't even notice it's happening. So you're competing for space. You're competing for attention, and it tends to get a little chaotic. And we find with our projects that when we are presented with this task, that the best thing to do is kind of think a little bit outside the box and do the research beforehand.
So you're trying to stand out, but you guys are really good at focusing people on being consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that's one of the things that I keep hearing from you is, you know, be consistent. Don't just run one ad and decide.
And you do. You absolutely, you have to have some type of shelf life with your efforts. Mm-hmm. What you don't have to do is keep investing money in something that doesn't work and doing it the same way.
Mm-hmm.
But you should adapt it. You should test it and measure it. You know, for instance, let's just go with an easy example of a traditional commercial. I wouldn't advise, and this has burned a lot of businesses, or they felt burned.
Mm-hmm.
They had a bit of money and said, well, let's run a month worth of commercials and see what happens.
Right.
And then at the end of the month, they get a phone call, they pick it up, and it's a hang-up. You know, the idea of longevity still plays a big part in marketing.
Mm-hmm.
It is part of the formula. Where it's probably changed a little bit is you can't run the same style for 12 months. So yes, I tell people to stick with it, but definitely to adapt it as the times change.
Right, right. Yeah.
During the course.
So one of the things that I really like about Steve Bonn is that he's really involved in helping make Wilmington a better place to do business. Steve, tell us a little bit about some of the things that you've been involved with here in town.
Well, you know, it's been a lot. We do a lot of charity work, and I'm a huge fan of March of Dimes. It's,
mm-hmm.
We've done some work with them. We've done a lot of work with the Greater Wilmington Chamber of Commerce.
Right. You advise them on marketing.
We've done some consulting to that end. We've worked with New Hanover County.
Great.
And done some great things with them and North Brunswick Chamber of Commerce. I mean,
it's been
across the board, really.
Yeah.
And each of them has presented a different opportunity for us.
Sure.
And as a business, you know, we thrive to learn more. You know,
right.
That's kind of what I've always wanted in our culture, is not just to be creative, but to be academic. We bring in people that have been teaching at universities and so forth and teaching marketing. We have folks that have been, you know, presented with awards and accolades for what they've done in their messaging. And with that said, even those people, I push to always be ahead of the game in learning what's the next thing. And how can we educate that to our clients and the public alike?
Yeah, so. That's great. Well, thank you for doing that. We appreciate it very much.
Oh, well, thank you. It's fun.
So, Steve, how do people get in touch with you at Bonsai? And first of all, tell them how to spell Bonsai.
Yeah, it's a little tough.
It's not a little plant.
We are a branding company with a confusing brand. Well, Bonsai, the quick preface is, it was a play on words when I was a lone wolf graphic designer and writer. It was my last name, Bonsye. So as if it was a bonsai design. So, but now it is still the same. We've kept it because the brand is stuck. And you can get a hold of us. You can visit our website, and it's fairly in-depth. See our work, read a little bit about our history, meet our team. And that is at bonsyeonline.com. Or you can give me a call or any of our teammates at 910-399-2700.
That's great.
We're always there to consult and help out and see if we can help you grow your business a bit.
Excellent. Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Matthew Derek Hamm.
Yes, ma'am.
Welcome to Business Radio X.
I am glad to be here. This is an honor. And Steve, thanks for that, man. I enjoyed hearing about your
business.
Absolutely.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to hearing about yours as
well. Yeah, absolutely.
So I became aware of Matt through his friends over, my dear friend Tyson Borum over at my insurance company, the Farm Bureau Insurance.
Yes.
And he was telling me one day about you, and he said, you know, you should get Matt on your show. He's a pretty darn smart guy. I said, okay, I'll do that.
Tyson's very kind.
He's a great guy.
He is. He and I started actually the exact same day. So we go back, and we are brothers in arms.
Well, tell us first a little bit about actually the Farm Bureau Insurance. The insurance world is a very complicated thing, and choosing an insurance agent is a very difficult thing. I find every time we've moved, it's finding the right person and the right fit. We found a really nice fit at Farm Bureau, but tell everybody out there about the kinds of services you offer and what makes you different.
Sure. Farm Bureau has been great to me. It's been a great resource for me to invest back in my community, because I'm from Wilmington, so I'm a Wilmingtonian through and through. So having
that's a Wilmington accent.
Yes.
I always wondered.
This is it.
He's the second one I've met.
You've got it. So having grown up here, when I finally moved back and began with Farm Bureau, it was an opportunity for me to reach out to family and friends and contacts and just be engaged in that community and provide a local face to insurance. Because now I think insurance is one that it's easily found online. It's a click away, and they sell the simplicity of it. But when you're on the other end of a 1-800 line and your car is in the middle of a wreck and you don't have anyone to speak with and there's not a face other than a catchy slogan, then that there's
15 minutes or less.
You know,
is it all about 15 minutes or less?
Whatever it might be, but that's the idea behind Farm Bureau. So Farm Bureau was really founded on this idea of having kind of infused into the community local agents who are the face of Farm Bureau in the community, and more of a client advisor relationship with your insurance rather than just give me a policy. Let's look at this as an overall plan for our family, for our clients. And so Farm Bureau's, you know, there's a lot of different offerings we have, but primarily my business with Farm Bureau is around homeowners insurance, mm-hmm. auto insurance, and personal life insurance.
Okay.
So that's kind of like our triangle, if you will, of what we focus on, or at least what I focus on with my clientele. And I've been blessed. I've got about 800 families here in the local Wilmington area that I work with, and they're great, and I just love doing that in a very personal way.
Well, congratulations.
It's the people. I mean, it's just been, they've been great in the company too. You know, their rates are very competitive.
They are.
And when you add good rates, good company with good claims handling, customer service, and kind of a personal face, I think it speaks for what folks are looking for.
Well, tell me how they got the name Farm Bureau. Did it start as a farmer's?
Yeah, so a long time ago, farmers used to not be able to get insurance because of their general proximity to the cities and fire response and those types of things. So a lot of insurance companies started with kind of farmers lobbying for farmers, you know, benefits and things.
Oh, I see.
And so the Farm Bureau is a national federation that's set up, and then it allows the you know, individual states that, you know, operate under Farm Bureau. North Carolina Farm Bureau is independent of itself. And so that's where it kind of was founded, you know, back in the mid-50s. And so it's grown from there to be a diverse offering. And I think the last I heard, we were the third largest carrier in North Carolina. So definitely large and have the resources and the financial, you know, reserves and those types of things. So A-plus rated company.
Cool. So when you're not out helping people with their insurance needs, you got a whole other thing going on. You're a speaker. You're an author. You've got a website. Tell us about that side of the mat, Ham.
The other day, my wife, kind of jokingly, she was like, "Do you do anything in moderation?" And I was like, I guess the answer is no. I've always been inclined, for whatever reason, to just stay active, whether it be physical activity or mental activity or whatever, just always have something going on. And I have three little boys at home under the age of 4.
We are
wide open, and that's just kind of that's natural to me. And long story short, last summer, I just really felt this calling to begin doing something I've always wanted to do, and that is speak. And I didn't know what that looked like at all. And so I met with a longtime friend here in town who's a nationally known speaker and author. And he said, "Matt, grab a pen and start writing." And I was like, I have no idea what I'll write about. And he said, "It'll come to you."
Mm-hmm.
And so last year I started a blog at matham.com, and it has just far surpassed anything that I had ever imagined. It's been really cool to see that grow, and it's become really its own entity now. And I've got
it's pretty inspirational. I mean, I was looking at, you know, the Mondays piece. It's pretty cool. You know, I really like the encouragement that, you know, you give people. Tell us about your website and how it's set up. And
sure. So the message really is a calling to redefine rich. Okay. So
and that's your first book, right?
That is.
What's it called?
Redefine Rich.
Okay.
So I'm going to tell a quick story of where this came from. My aunt, who lived here in Wilmington, very, very close to me, special, special lady. We had a very kindred relationship, and she was a Disney type person. She just had that Disney mentality. So every you know, tragedy was met with triumph, and like this story always ended happily ever after. And that's just my Aunt Trish. And at age 48, she was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And because of the way she lived life, we always thought that her story was going to end happily. And it wasn't until Christmas of 2006, when I was at her home for her annual Christmas party, and I recognized that something was different. And you could just see it on her face that she was tired and she was really sick. And little did we know, she had been given her terminal diagnosis 2 weeks earlier. Wow. But she refused to cancel her Christmas party. And that's just the type of lady she was. And so I got a call about 2 weeks later. My uncle said, "If you want to come see your aunt, you probably should now." She was in the hospital at the time. So I walk to the hospital, and you never want to see that setting, but you see friends and family in the lobby, and it's just that gut-wrenching feeling. Mm-hmm. You just avoid eye contact. Mm-hmm. Well, I walk in my aunt's room, and she's laying on her bed, and the light's kind of on her, and the hospital lighting, and she's a hospital gown and all. She's by herself. And I walk over to her, and I sit down. I'm on a knee, and I hold her hand, and you don't know what to say to someone when they're in that place. And so I prayed with her, and I just spoke to her, and she wasn't doing a lot of talking because her lungs were beginning to fill with fluid, but a nurse steps in to come help my aunt, and she props my aunt up with this pillow. And as she does that, my aunt kind of inhales this big breath and looks at this nurse and says, "You make my life easy."
Aww.
And without hesitation, this nurse looks back at my aunt and says, "You make my life rich."
Aww.
And at the time, I didn't really know what that meant.
Yeah.
And for the last 7 years, that's kind of like been hidden somewhere inside. And so when I started writing last summer, that kind of just, boom, came out. And it was like, what does that mean? And so the book is called Redefine Rich, and it's a different approach at what the, I guess, general conception of richness is Scrooge McDuck or the Monopoly guy or, the oil tycoon. And so my belief, though, is that richness is multifaceted and that there's many different layers, and I've actually assigned these different principles to what it means to live a rich life. And so that's really what my writing has become mm-hmm. and what it's about. And it's a challenge to people to live richly, to live in a way that, exudes this inner richness and kind of shares that hope for other people. So yeah, that's really what the matham.com is all about.
Cool. You got more writing coming up. You have a new book?
Yeah, so the book itself is Redefine Rich.
Okay.
And that is really,
and that's available on
It's not
your
out
site.
Yet.
Oh,
yeah,
oh, okay.
It's kind of in pre-publication now.
I see. Okay.
I've just finished writing it and putting all the pieces together. And so it's slated for a late September release. And so talking about branding and marketing, those things, I've been entrenched in that, kind of in this other world, if you will, of building logos and brands around this Live Richly, Redefine Rich message. And so that's kind of culminating in a podcast, mm-hmm. and it's all upcoming, leading to this book release in September. So I'm really excited about it.
Congratulations. I know a few authors myself, and it's never easy to get to that final point where you can be talking about publication dates. That's a big deal.
Yeah,
you should be proud of that.
I'm excited about it, man. Thank you.
Yeah, that's very cool. So what are you doing? How are you cross-pollinating your different marketing activities to help promote the book?
Well,
as long as we're talking marketing.
Sure. I mean, one of the things that I'm constantly learning is what that online space looks like. And I'm very delicate.
And when you get that down.
I will, yes, write another book.
Because it's different tomorrow than
yeah.
it was yesterday.
Let me know what it looks like.
It definitely is. And honestly, there's a lot of noise out there.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of noise. And we talked about that, and something that you said, Steve, that really resonates with me is be confident in and consistent with your message.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Authenticity shouts at people. I mean, they can see authenticity, I believe.
Sure.
Yeah. So when they see authenticity, they're attracted to that, and they feed off of that, And in a world that there's a lot of inauthenticity, sad to say.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think if you're authentic with your message, you're genuine to your message. I think Seth Godin, talks a lot about the purple cow.
I was going to quote him earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
You brought that up. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah. And so when you've got this purple, whatever your purple cow is, and for me, that's Redefine Rich. And so everywhere I am, that's my purple cow, Redefine Rich. And so on Facebook, whether it's my Facebook message, which is a much more organic kind of family feel,
absolutely.
People that know me, my Twitter space is very different, maybe a little bit quirky, but it's still Redefine Rich. I've got Instagram, which is kind of my personal family and all that. So, yeah, a lot of that coexists, but it all tries to keep in with the same theme. And so at least that's what I'm attempting to do. So, but it's challenging, man, and I'd love to pick your brain about that.
It's inspiring to hear because they're really – we kind of get bogged down in everything we do. I'm talking –
all
as myself,
us.
But yeah,
all
at a holistic,
us, yeah.
Yes, we all do. And it's nice to hear that, people are out there still following their passions and being real. I crave that stuff because
I think everybody does.
Exactly.
Right? We all want to come down to this essential self so that you can be real, right? So you can be transparent.
We've become a pretty guarded people, I feel. And it's probably because of the technology and where we're at and as a digital society and so forth. But I think there's more men and women like Matt that are starting to say, you know what? I'm just going to tell my story.
I think,
who cares anymore? It used to be so polished. It is what it is.
It absolutely. The thing that I'm realizing now is I talk to people, because what I've done a lot with this message is I've asked people, like, what does it mean to you to be rich?
Mm-hmm.
What does richness look like for you?
Right.
And so many people are just terrified by the reality that their story doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And
that's why we have Business Radio X, because I think everybody's story really
matters.
And when you get them talking about it, you see, wow, there's a lot of energy back, you know, behind that story.
That's and there's hope, and there's truth, and there's encouragement, and there's wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And it just takes kind of understanding. It's like one of the first principle of richness is a play on the word, you know, financial sense, but it's recognize that you're broken. And dealing with finances, you wouldn't aspire to have wealth if you didn't. So you recognize you're broke. But in a personal sense and kind of a holistic sense, recognize you're broken. And it's exactly what you said earlier about self-reflection. In a business sense, you have to understand what's broken, like what's not working within this business.
That's right.
You know, and in a personal sense as well, we don't like to talk about our broken areas. Nobody does. But growth and hope and knowledge and wisdom, all that starts by asking, what's broken?
Right.
And having some real transparent conversation there. And that's kind of the foundation that you build on.
I think that most people who've been in business for a while can actually point to different times over the course of their careers and their businesses where a failure has actually pushed them so much farther forward once they're willing to recognize it.
Totally.
And I was actually, there was a new web developer that had recently graduated from UNCW who sat me down for lunch, and he said, so tell me, how did you grow your business? How have you been in business for 23 years? How did this happen? And I said, oh man, you just gotta focus on your failures, man. And he's like, what?
Yeah.
you what?
Well, it's everything in life, you know. I'm a father myself, and I have a six-year-old son and a three-year-old daughter, and every step at this point, and this might be generational, Matt and I are probably close in age, but every step of the way, whether it be your family, whether it be business, you find yourself kind of searching for you know, and growing, but at the same time kind of soul searching. And the more comfortable I've gotten doing that, the better a person it's made me.
The better your business gets.
Yeah, exactly. When you're willing
when your
to see, here's my strength
on,
and here's my weakness.
And when you've evaluated your brand to the point where it is true, then if you stick with that, it's going to work.
The great analogy that I use, it's actually in the book, is that forest fires, scientists have actually proven that forest fires are necessary for sustaining the ecosystem.
Yeah. Right.
And think about that in your personal life.
Right.
We don't like fires.
Yeah, right.
But in the ecosystem, what happens is the cover of the leaves and the foliage actually keep the light from penetrating the earth.
Yeah.
You know, and so there's a stagnation. And so in the book, the charge is kind of like, burn down your forest. Like, what tree is sheltering you from kind of the light that you need to receive? And so that's that whole idea of wrestling with brokenness. And so absolutely, in a business sense too, there might be a lot of trees that are kind of like blocking you from growth. And you need to point those out and chop them down.
Well, and it comes back to, from a personal standpoint and a business standpoint, it took me a long time, and I will always be learning. The minute I stop learning, I'm going to be concerned. But we take things very seriously. I take
Absolutely.
Things very seriously.
Absolutely.
And the minute you realize that you're not the center of attention you think you are, you're going to do a lot better off
in life. Right.
Exactly.
You're not as important as you think you are. And I think that applies with what you're saying with the forest fire analogy is you're going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got to be able to step back and not be so scared to do things.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So how can people hear you speak? It sounds like you've got some really innovative and inspirational things to say to people.
Absolutely. I'm really in the early stages of kind of growing, putting that together. I've been able to speak here locally to a college group through like Port City Community Church.
Great.
And I've spoke to a couple local businesses at their kickoff. I'm actually, fingers crossed, trying to finalize being the keynote for a 2015 kickoff for a local organization. I don't want to say it yet because it's not done, but I'm trying to do some stuff like that. So, I mean, one of the things about I'm so excited about this is that I would love for folks to really look at this and see if it's something that would apply to their business.
Right.
Because having grown a small business, you know, that I've done, I have a lot of that tangible, like, in the trenches experience.
Sure.
And then over the last, you know, years and years and years of kind of reading and looking and taking this kind of like step back and looking, I feel like I have this perspective that I can bring to the table. And so, that's really what we're trying to do. So the upcoming release of the book. I'm really kind of promoting that whole idea of speaking and doing some life coaching on the side as well. So it's really exciting. But everything right now is housed out of matham.com. It's just matham.com. And from there, you can connect to my blog, sign up for the mailing list, the newsletter.
And that way we'll know how to get the book when it's out.
Yeah, actually, I'm getting ready to launch a video on social media next week of me on stage kind of delivering that message.
Excellent.
Of my Aunt Trish.
Very good.
Yeah, so it's all kind of coming together. So thank y'all so much for letting me be here.
Just, we're glad to have you. Thank you both for being here today.
This has been a great opportunity.
It was a great show. Yeah. And we will be back again next week at the same time and look forward to seeing you then. And until next time, this is Ann Revelle Petcher for Wilmington Business Radio.